This is Tanya Lynn with the Sistership Circle podcast. From spirituality, sexuality, and sisterhood to business, relationships, contribution, and creativity, the Sistership Circle podcast introduces a new model of feminine leadership where women get real and vulnerable about it all. Tune in for authentic advice that will empower you to be bold, beautiful, and brilliant as your true self.
All right, here we are. It's Tanya Lynn with another Sistership Circle podcast. And today we are talking about one of my favorite subjects, which is storytelling and truth telling. And how do you actually put together your story? So I got the expert of this, how to create your story. And so let me introduce you to her because I'm really, really excited to talk with her today. Kylie Slavik is a digital marketing expert and brand storyteller who has generated millions of dollars in revenue for her clients through her unique copy and advertising style. She has experience running story-based paid traffic campaigns on Facebook and LinkedIn, has strategized and executed some of the most lucrative launches in women's coaching history, and has had a major influence in how stories are told online in the coaching industry. Her passion is for raising consciousness, human rights, and the environment. So you will find her partner with everyone from solopreneurs to traffic agencies who share that value. So this is, I think this is really important because as I'm training women leaders to run circles and to facilitate, every single time we are coming across this main piece of like, how do you tell your story and what's your story? And it's not about leaving yourself out, because that can be a tendency when we're facilitating circles is we tend to kind of hold space and then we think, oh, well, what I have to say doesn't, it's more about the women, right, versus me. But actually, we want to put you in the circle and lead from your story. So welcome, Kylie. I am so excited about this conversation. Thanks for joining me today.
Me too. Thank you. Yeah, it's an honor to be here.
And I want to start with the question of how did you get to doing this work, running these amazing campaigns for lucrative launches and helping people craft their stories? How did you get here? Let's start
there. Yeah, I was such a reluctant entrepreneur. That's the first thing I want to say, because I sense that some of your listeners may understand that. And, we all, when we're empathy driven, we want to share our gifts, but the business marketing side can be a little bit, because of what we've seen, because of what the examples are out there, there can be a big disconnect. So I was that way myself. I was more in the healing arts space. I was doing massage therapy. I was running events. I was doing all sorts of healing events. And what I noticed was that I was really good at getting people to come to things, and I was really good at building my practice. And I didn't think of that as being marketing or business. I just thought of it as being like, oh, I'm really good at inspiring people to do things that are good for them, and that are community building. And after some time, people started asking me to teach at the local schools and all these kind of things. And I was like, okay, cool. At the same time, one of my spiritual teachers, who is a Cherokee medicine woman in New Zealand, told me, you need to become an entrepreneur. And if you don't, you're holding your soul a grade back in school. Like, you're going to have to come back and do it. And I was like, ew, I got so mad. I was so angry with her. I wanted to hang up on her. I waited all year to have that one phone call with her. And then I was like, so pissed, but it was kind of already lining up. And I was like, okay, well, I don't really know what kind of business I would start. I'll just keep helping people fill their events and get clients, because I'm good at that. And that kind of grew. But what was interesting is that I have a background as a performance poet. I used to do performance poetry for years and years and years in Florida. And as I started to get higher level and higher level access in terms of what people were asking me to do in online marketing, I really just took my storytelling style from the slam poetry world over into it. So I started managing launches and I started working with all these people, but this one woman, Gina, her name is, she asked me, can you write my ads and do my ads? And I was like, okay. And I had no idea what I was doing, like, at all. I just like started telling her story on the ads. I was like, well, I was really poor and I was living in my parents' basement, even though I, had 8 years of psychotherapy training under my belt, and I was amazing at what I did. And I worked for the White House and Harvard School of Politics, yet I was like running this psychology clinic 70 hours a week and making $24,000 a year and wondering why God wasn't using me in full service and like all this stuff. And I was just, that's what came to me to put in an ad. I never thought about it any other way. And the ads really, for ads, they went viral. They were getting like 2,000-3,000 shares, like 600 comments. And we were able to generate $2.5 million in 12 weeks from people that never even heard of her before. It was really like nothing like that had ever happened before. And I was like, oh, there's something here. People like stories. I already knew that. I just didn't know it could be translated into advertising. So that was the kickoff of my career, really. And ever since then, I just have been training people to share their stories. And I feel like everybody gets results with it, as opposed to some other things we see in digital marketing where the standard is 1-3% of people that apply this get results. And that's standard. And I think that's sad. And I see 100% of people that consistently share their story, consistently, not just one time and then, freak out. I see it work. So it's so powerful.
Beautiful. And I think this is a pretty easy answer, or what might seem like we already know the answer, but I'd love for you to say it anyway, or is why is your story so important, and why is it so important in marketing specifically?
There's a couple of reasons. The first, as far as marketing goes, is that I guarantee you whatever you're doing, there's 1,000 other people doing it. And so if they don't have a reason to relate to you, they're going to buy it from somebody they relate to who is sharing their story. So that's the first piece. And I have people in my membership community tell me all the time, like, I didn't buy from you because you're good at digital marketing, even though that's what you're teaching. Like, I bought from you because you care about the ocean. You know what I mean? It's like, but if I wasn't talking about that, then nobody would know. And so there's all these things inside of us that people don't know because we don't tell them. And that for them would be the reason people buy. We've been trained in the marketing world, sell, market results, market results. But people have so many options for the same results, and they really do buy on emotion, I think. So, or resonance, or like a spiritual resonance, like I relate to you, so I need this thing, I'm going to get it from you. The other thing is that there's so much neuroscience that supports that the way that we learn best, the way we remember best, and the way that we feel best is through stories. So our brains have actually evolved around storytelling. The tribes that survived versus the tribes that didn't survive was based on the stories that they shared with each other. There's a lot of anthropology to support that. So if you think about the idea that people ignore 2,000 marketing messages a day, that's how much we see and that's how much we filter out on a daily basis. The average person, maybe not all of us, because we may be a little bit less likely to watch TV or listen to the radio or be on Facebook all day long, but the average person ignores 2,000 marketing messages a day. And so you have to be the one to come in with that emotional connection if you're going to get someone's attention and earn their trust. So for me, it's like to leave it on the table is crazy, knowing what I know. I'm like, if you don't share your story, that's great. That's such a disservice. You know, you need to share it. So that's I'm passionate about this topic. So I will always probably say share stories, but that's the why.
And so what would be some of the elements that, so let's roll up our sleeves and start talking about this, because I think the women who are listening right now are like, okay, so what are those elements that I need to have to tease out in my story?
The most important one is some type of transformation has to change. It has to happen. So in screenwriting or in literature, they're going to talk about character. In marketing, we might not hear that as much, like character in an ad, but it's important actually. And even if for most people that I work with, they're solopreneurs, they're coaches, they're healers, So the character is them. They're not making up like a little Geico lizard to put in their story, right? It's like, no, they are the character, but it's still coming from this idea that there has to be a relatable person and something has to happen to this relatable person, you probably, that people A, have empathy for, and then there is some kind of transformation that happens. So a lot of times what we see in marketing is this very simple before and after. It comes across as really shallow, actually. It's like, you know, before I met Kylie, I was struggling in my marketing, and then I took her Facebook ads class and I made $1 million. And it's like, well, yeah, whatever. Like, who cares? We've seen it so much, we don't even care anymore. It used to be a thing. But the elements that are missing there is the sort of roller coaster. Like, why do you have empathy for the person who's sharing that story? What's the roller coaster that they went on? And so that's like the first way that I would explain it. Could go a little deeper if you want, but those are like the character, the empathy, and the transformation. Those are the three things that if nothing else, you have to have that.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that piece of a lot of times we just do the before and after and we forget the juicy, you know, the stuff in the middle that everyone wants to hear about. Okay, well, what happened? How did you get there? Right. Mm-hmm. And so that yeah. middle piece is really important. Great. Let's go deeper with it.
Yeah. So the how did you get there part, that's going to have a lot to do with obstacles and challenges. So we always want to remember that people don't believe in extreme results being possible for them. So if you're trying to, you know, if you're trying to share your story just for healing purposes, that's kind of another thing. And we can get into that later if we have time. But if it's really to share authentically, to inspire people to join a circle or to open up in a circle or whatever, we want to have, you know, this transformation, this empathy, but we also want to show that the character or the person or you has a goal that they're trying to achieve and all this stuff gets in the way. And what does that person do about it to overcome it? So essentially what I'm saying is that, and you can see this in movies, everybody likes a story about the unlikely hero. And that is when I did that first ad campaign, that's exactly what it was. We weren't coming in it saying, look at my 7-figure lifestyle and my awesome marriage and all the places that I travel to, which is true. I mean, that was true for that person. They had that. But it was more like, hey, look at where I started, but I had this huge vision and I wouldn't give up. And this happened and this happened and this happened. And now I'm here. And in that middle part of this, this, and this, where you're really showing the vulnerabilities, you're really showing the struggles, you're really showing the obstacles, then people can relate. I'll give you an example from something I share on webinars, and I discovered this by accident. So I was selling a Facebook ads training course like 3 years ago, and I started talking about, like, I thought what people really would want to know was like the results I got and the money that I made for all these people. So I started showing screenshots and I started showing like, these are the results you can get if you work with me and all this kind of stuff. But the highest converting webinar I did was when I talked about how that woman had asked me to do her Facebook ads and how I had no idea what I was doing. And I was living with my partner and we had to leave our house. And so we were living in a camper with like barely any Wi-Fi for a couple of weeks. And I had to learn, I took 3 Facebook ad programs in one weekend with like almost no Wi-Fi and the videos kept spinning and I was crying and I was trying to learn really fast. And then by the time I got to the point where I knew enough to upload an ad, I didn't know, but Facebook doesn't save your work. So I like lost internet connectivity right when I hit upload and the whole thing crashed and it was all gone. And then like resizing a photo, like just downloading the software to resize photos was like such an ordeal. And then, you know, and I go into the details of that. And then I'm like, and then I just uploaded my 3 ads and cried and went to sleep and hadn't slept in 4 days. 3 days after I uploaded them, you know, Gina calls me and she says, hey, we sold three $10,000 programs in like three different countries. I didn't even know Qatar was like a country, and we just sold a part. And I was like, really? And so it was like, so when I talk about it in that way, people are like, oh, if you can do it, I can do it, because the odds were really stacked against you and you really aren't even very good at tech. And you're kind of an airhead when it comes to like doing these things, you know, like, so if you can do it, then I have a chance of actually having results with your program. So it's not the like, oh yeah, like I have all these awesome results, you should join me. It's the like, actually I'm not special and I got these results, and so therefore you probably can too. That's the most powerful form of storytelling for marketing that I've ever seen.
Mm. This is so great. Mm-hmm. And my mind's already like spinning with this as well, because that is, I think, the tendency is what I found for myself, is like focused on the results and focused on, you know, what my strengths are. Mm-hmm. And sometimes skipping over what happened, you know, when I was struggling. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's it, because especially when we're talking about circle's all about vulnerability. And that is the vulnerable part, is the part when you were struggling and, you know, the pain that you went through to get onto the other side. So amazing. Totally. I love that.
Yeah. There's actually a little neuroscience piece that I learned from a guy named Robert McKee, and Robert McKee wrote a book called Story, and it's kind of the gold standard in Hollywood for screenwriting. It's one of the three books that people will refer to in screenwriting more than anything. And what he said was, and he said he has a really hard time with this with his corporate clients, because they don't want to be vulnerable. They want to show like, we are the best. We are the, you know, no one else is as good as us. And it doesn't create a sense of connection. So it doesn't create brand loyalty. What he said was 99.9% of humans perceive themselves as the underdog. Like somebody who is really trying to move forward with something in life, and there's all this stuff that's stopping you, whether it's the government or the corporations or, you know, your husband or whatever. Most people are hardwired to believe like, I have this goal and all these things are getting in my way. And so when they start to hear a story of somebody who's the underdog, the unlikely hero, it fires off all these neurotransmitters, and then they start wanting you to get what you want. And they're like in the story with you, and they're like, this is amazing. And then by the time you get to the offer, they're in it, you know? Mm. Whereas he said, most people are wired to feel that the overdog, or the authority marketing, as it can sometimes be called, like that is actually... people will see that person as somebody who's getting in the way of what they really want in life. Like if you come out swinging as like, I'm this badass and you need to follow me, they'll think of you in the same way that they think of the president or the like governor or the senator or the religious leader. It's like, there's a little fear. And for some people there's even awe, but there's not empathy and likability for the most part.
Yeah, that makes sense. I had a thought that came to me while you were speaking about the authority, and I think it's the, you know, the end of the guru.
Oh,
age.
Totally. Amen.
No one cares about the guru anymore, and it's about being authentic, but in an authentic way. Because now people are being vulnerable, but doesn't really feel authentic.
The fake vulnerability fad. I know, it drives me crazy.
Yeah. Vulnerable posts. And it's like, no, it's not actually. yeah. So
a little bit, come back. Try yeah.
So that's really fascinating too, about the underdog. And I just kept thinking, Rudy, Rudy, Rudy.
I mean, watch a movie where the hero in the movie is not the underdog. And if they're not, like if there's a movie where the protagonist is kind of a jerk in the beginning and super arrogant, and like on top of the world, what happens for them? Everything falls apart. And then the real story starts to happen. And they're like, oh, like the big ad exec has to move to like the rural South or something. Right. It's like, oh, I'm on a farm now. You know what I mean? Like, and then you don't like him when he's like running these $1 million campaigns and ignoring his wife and yelling at his secretary, but you really like him when he like pets a cow for the first time, you know. I was like, oh.
Yeah, definitely. It's the hero's journey, really.
Totally. Totally.
Right? It's the hero's journey. So what other little nuggets can you give us for when women are trying to tell their story?
Yeah, I would say just like, don't overthink it. Mm. It doesn't always have to be a complete story. A lot of what I do is like fragments of stories because I understand the form of story so well that I'm like, oh, it's just going to be this little snapshot or this little snapshot. But over time, they're getting the whole thing. So I think just expressing and sharing from your heart is an amazing place to start. And really, the form, you can study the form and you can try to model the form that I've shared and other people share, but what's more important is the emotionality than the form, because the form is there to try to create more emotionality, but if we become mechanical about it, then it's like it's not emotional. So I would say just start sharing. Like, and one way to think about what parts of your story are important to share in terms of just sharing is, what's really the most important thing to your ideal client or your audience? And what is it, like, where is their stuck point? For me, the stuck point is my people have spent a ton of money on coaches and business marketing development. They haven't really gotten anywhere. And yet, at the same time, their vision really isn't leaving them alone. So they're kind of like, I don't know what to do because this stuff doesn't work. And yeah, I'm here with this vision. And so for me, that's a great place to come in and tell stories about how that was for me when I was there, or how some of my clients have been there and overcome it. And it doesn't have to be a novel. It can be a sentence. It can be it can just be encouragement of someone who's in that place and how I understand how they're feeling. And just beginning to hone in on that spot for your people and sharing your wisdom and your experiences there, that's a huge way to start. And then as time goes on, getting more clear on like, oh, this is my origin story, which would be what we might see on an About Me page, like how I came to do what I do, why I'm kind of a badass, what's human about me, and why I can help you. That's like, in a nutshell, what I would call origin story. So yeah, just starting somewhere. I will add one nuance, and this is really important to me, and I see a lot of people messing this up online, and I go in and say something about it usually because it's really important to me. There's this trend towards vulnerability that sometimes moves into oversharing, which I don't care about oversharing. I'm a classic oversharer, like with my friends and my therapist and everything like that. I have a lot to say. But in terms of being responsible as a coach, as a healer, as someone who has a service to offer, if we share something really raw and really intense, there's a part of the brain that can't understand the difference between a story and reality. So you are projecting that experience onto the reader. They are having that experience in their brain. And if you don't bring them all the way through to the other side, I personally find that to be irresponsible. So if you're in the middle of a messy breakup and you're in pain about it and you want to share about that because you think it's relevant to your audience, please at least share some kind of insider wisdom at the end and don't just leave people in the mess. That is like something that I see so much that it can traumatize people actually. So yeah. We definitely don't
want to
do that.
That's a really good point. Is to what is the lesson that you are receiving in the moment, even if you're not all the way through it in this moment right now? What's the lesson? What's the wisdom? Bringing them back up on the arc. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, you have to, exactly. Robert says the greatest form for a story is to. is to start on a positive, go down to the negative, and then bring it back up to the positive, so that people are having a complete experience with your story.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I'm taking lots of notes here. Okay, so we've talked about some of the form. We've talked about some of the nuance. You mentioned the origin story. Are there a couple? And you said, you know, you like to tell stories in different fragments. Are there other types of stories like the origin story that you can share right now? Or
there's a few. I think the like reluctant hero is one that I've heard people talk about, or the unlikely hero. There's before and after, which I think is great as long as you're giving it a little bit of depth. And there's testimonials. Those are amazing forms of story that you can be sharing. I'm trying to think. There's a story called Us and Them. I don't really use it that much, but you can use it where it's like, all right, I am using it actually. There's a campaign I'm working on for a holistic dog food company right now, and I do use it. It can be very, very powerful when it's appropriate, when it's true, and when it won't hurt anyone specific. So I've seen people misuse this story form, so I don't share it that much, but the reason it's so powerful is because story is born from contrast or conflict. Like there's two opposing things that over time come together and unify. That's like that's what a story is. So the Us and Them, for example, how I'm doing this story for this dog food company is I'm telling the story of this woman whose dog died at 4, and she found out. She freaked out because she was like, why does my dog have cancer when it's 4? And she's having this conversation with herself, and she's saying to herself, dogs don't smoke, they don't eat fast food. And then she had this moment of, whoa, what are they eating? And so she started doing all this research and had all these connections to the American Cancer Society and figured out and found out that what is in dog food is completely undigestible to them. It's basically like feeding your child 3 fast food meals a day for their entire life. And they can't digest anything that's cooked. They share 98% DNA with the wolf, and they should be eating a raw diet because that's what their ancestry eats. So she started to create a product that was a hybridized version of raw versus because most people can't afford raw and it's really messy. They'll ship you like an entire rabbit and you cut it up and it's gross and very expensive. So I tell this story, and where the Us and Them comes in is as I talk about like the dog food industry. So we position this Midwestern woman with 5 kids, Christian woman with a dead dog, that's very likable for most people. And then we position her against the billion-dollar dog industry that doesn't care about your animal. They only care about profits. And so now you're like, oh, now you're paying attention because you're like, oh, yeah, it makes total sense that the dog food industry doesn't care about my dog and that this woman on a mission cares. Now I want to check out the product. So that's another form. I'm reluctant to share it in some ways because I think you have to have a sophisticated understanding of your audience and yourself to do that in a way that's not creating any kind of harm and not creating any kind of angst. It's just owning what the truth is, but not finger pointing per se.
Yeah. So like kind of like the slow food versus fast food movement.
Right, exactly. It's like the slow food movement gets more value when it's positioned against what's not working. So yeah, so so it's not necessarily to make one thing good and the other thing bad. It's just that contrast is what creates emotions. And so if you're just describing the slow food movement, it may not be emotional for someone. But if you're describing that this other thing could be harming their family or could be harming their body or could be incongruent with their values, now you have emotional response.
I would say sometimes we use that with circle versus patriarchy.
There you go. Exactly.
Yeah. So we are using that in our message for Sistership Circle is the contrast.
I use it for like, I'll say like, I call it adrenal pulling marketing. But it's really just like marketing that uses a lot of fear and inadequacy to get you to buy. I will say, like, what I'm doing is not that. So that's a big story that I tell that's very attractive to people because they've tried that.
Yes.
And it like eats at their soul to try to do that. And yet they still have this thing that they're called to do and they're left in a helpless position. And so I come in and I'm like, look, I've actually been able to generate close to $3 million just telling stories and being empathy driven. So come over here and you can do it too. And then people really like that.
Absolutely. As we're starting to wrap up, I'd love for maybe you could share a couple more stories of mm-hmm. different clients. You know, the one that you shared in the beginning was just super powerful and mm-hmm. the dog, it's like, here you are telling stories about telling stories. So I would love if you have a couple other ones that are really powerful, as examples, because I think that can get our minds working, you know, when we're thinking about our own stories.
Yeah, stories that are powerful. Well, one story from I'm trying to think of client stories. There's so many. I'm trying to think of, I did the dog food. I did Gina. Like, what else is there? Well, there's a story that I share from my own life with my people because, again, and it's just to drive that same point home, which I couldn't possibly drive it home enough, is showing the places where I have failed. And where I have not been successful is so important for believability, because a lot of what we see out there is people putting up the flashy pictures, like in my industry in marketing, like I'm rich and I'm successful and I'm awesome and I'm traveling. And it's like, it triggers people's sense of inadequacy, but there's also this idea that that's not even real. Like that's unsustainable to a certain degree. And that's not showing the real life. It's just showing the highlight reel. And so one thing that I share with my people is the time that I quit my job. I decided I'm gonna go all in and do this online thing. And I had a really safe and stable job. And this was happening sort of parallel to the story I shared early, but I quit the job and I burned the bridge and I was like, no, I'm just gonna do this thing. And I was kind of getting some jobs here and there from the schools, like I was sharing, and a little bit of, you know, client work here and there. But I decided that I really wanted to be a copywriter and I really wanted to write and I really wanted to train the healers and the people that are here to change the world. Well, they really didn't want to do business or learn marketing at that time. So that idea, I built an entire website. I spent all this money I didn't have. And then those people were just like not wanting it. And so I was like, man. So I started writing blog posts and I was like, okay, it's $4 a blog post. I can write like 10 in an hour. That's what I thought. And I thought, cause they were like 300 words and they were really cut and paste. But I was actually writing one in an hour and it was really hard to keep up the pace all day long. So I was making like, I would work like 10 hours a day, make $40 a day. And then I couldn't pay my rent or turn on my heat I didn't even know. I just moved into a house and I didn't even know that we had like gas heat. So like the gas ran out and I was like, oh, I have to pay like $400 for delivery. I didn't even know that. And now I'm cold and I'm waking up in the morning and my toes are purple and I had to call my friend to bring food. And then I decided, should I go back to a job or should I just keep doing this? And I was like, no, if I go back to security, my soul is going to die and I'm not going to attract what I need to attract to push through. So there was a really pivotal moment where I had a choice, like a fork in the road, and I chose, no, keep going. And within a month or two, I ended up getting a job as a content manager for Max Simon, who, you know, some of you know, some of you don't, but his father built the Chopra empire. He was like the silent partner to Deepak. So all of a sudden here I am going from freezing in my house because I can't get a gas order to being on the phone with John Assaraf and Mark Victor Hansen and Bob Proctor, because that was Max's like friends and relationships. And I'm interviewing them about what's working in their business. And I'm getting in the head of people who have $7 million companies and what's working for them. And all of a sudden, I'm a completely different person in 30 days because I made that choice at that point to say no to any of the ropes that were being thrown to me to go back to the world that I was trying to leave behind. I burned all the bridges and I said, no, I'm going with my soul. So I can share that story, can share parts of that story. And what it's important for is the moment in time where my clients are at the giving up point, because the husband is saying, you need to get a real job. You need to stop, you know, playing business, or they did another launch that didn't work and they're just getting tired and they're just getting frustrated. And it's like, yeah, but look what can happen when you don't give up in this place. Like, this place is the most amazing place to be in, because this is where you have to make a real decision. And so people hear that and they love it, because they don't know it about me. And when I share it, they're like, oh, that's amazing. We didn't know that you were like really poor and really like couldn't even afford groceries. And it's really important for people to know those things, because some of them are in that place and we're asking them to take a risk, you know? So that's another story. I can't hear you.
I'm on mute. So I was saying that's really powerful that you just shared. One type of story is the origin story. Uh-huh. Another type is the us versus them, the reluctant hero, the testimonial. And now we have the give up point.
Yeah, totally. I never thought of it like that, but yes, mm-hmm. Totally, there's so many like archetypes that just come out of the storytelling. You can make up your own forms, you know?
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
Powerful. And I can think of, as you're sharing that, I can think of two give up points in my last 7 years career. The one was when I was making the transition from Tribal Truth to Sistership Circle, and it was the beginning of my dark night of the soul, and I literally just was like, I'm done and I'm throwing this away. And I didn't go back to a job. What was interesting at that point is, for me, it was a trusting in a power higher than myself, that because I was constantly struggling with the sustainability. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I ended up leading this one group, and that group sustained me financially till I got through this whole healing process. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of my healing process, came out with my book, started what is now Sistership Circle. And then my other give up point was fairly recently, where so my husband came in to work in the business with me. And so he gave up what he was doing. And it was September, October last year, so about a year ago. And he was like, you know, I don't think we can continue doing this anymore. And, you know, we can't just live off of what's now one income, essentially. And I was like, okay, well, it's time for you to leave and you need to go back and do what you need to do. But he kept saying, you know, I think we just need to like stop with Sistership Circle and maybe you need to go do something else. And I was like, not happening. You can leave, but I'm staying. And then, you know, so him leaving actually gave me the space to really tune into my vision. And like, what am I really doing here? And that's when I made the pivot from, you know, who are we targeting to? I'm here to train facilitators. I'm a leader of leaders. Mm-hmm. And then everything took off this year. And then he came back in. So it was great because he got to really see my power, mm-hmm. See what we were really doing. And he like was able to get back on board with the vision. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So those were two, you know, and it was a really hairy time. It was like, it was extremely stressful. And that feeling, it's that giving up feeling of like, I know we can do this together. And I know because we complement each other so well. Mm-hmm. And it was like, there was this feeling like failing in our relationship. And so, and part of it was just, we were working at home in the same house, you know, it was like, it was too much. So him getting out of the house, getting an office helped to free up the energy and to have us come back into our own lane. So now it's like, we're both in our own lanes doing the business together and it just works better. So
And you know, that's so amazing for the give up point. You know what else it's also amazing for is when one of the number one objections that women have to investing anything in coaching and programs and is like, it's getting sticky in my relationship because, you know, like I've been doing this for a while. I don't have anything to show for it. And I love to speak stories into objections because that's a much more powerful way to handle objections than to be pushy. So I like that story too, to show people how to navigate their relationship in an entrepreneurial setting. Like that's a story you could build an entire series around because there's so many details that you didn't share that were happening, right? Because it was, you shared it in 2 minutes, but this was like a year process. So there's so many other pieces you could share that would really help the women in positions of how do I navigate my dreams with my relationship? And that's a huge thing for people. You know, it's a big one. So I love, so I love that thematically for you sharing that.
Well, there's that one. And then it was like, so I kicked him out, you know, and stuff. He decided to, he was going to go back and focus. I think it was about 5 months and rebuild what he was doing. And so now there's passive income coming in on his business. And so he's able to come back. But I got pregnant. So this was all during like first trimester for me. So, and then there's like, as you're saying that of objections, you know, the other thing for me is of how that all was happening while I had a toddler and I'm pregnant with my second. And I'm building my business. And this year has been just substantial growth with a toddler and while I'm pregnant and giving birth, you know. So I have a lot of friends, just I think a lot of women entrepreneurs in general are afraid to get pregnant because they feel like they have to give up their dream. And I am definitely a living testimony of I am my second kid now and I'm still, you know, with a full-fledged successful business. And I have not had to give up my business.
That's amazing. Yeah, there's so many layers to this particular story for you. And it's, yeah, wow, I'm getting like full body chills. I think that's definitely something that I want to see from you.
And as we're talking, I'm like, you know, I don't really talk about the relationship with my husband so much as one of my stories. I just wrote out, you know, so much of what I've learned this year around working as a woman entrepreneur and finding, working in tune with my cycle and not even the monthly cycle, but the cycle of my pregnancy and how did I navigate that? Because I think that's the same as with your period and how do you actually, manage your energy as a woman in business and be sustainable. And I talk about that, but I don't really talk about this piece with the partnership with my husband because he's so behind the scenes.
Right.
And people don't really know that there is this man who's helping to uphold this feminine organization.
Totally.
Which is kind of cool. So yeah, thank you.
On so many levels, it's just so powerful for women to hear that the partnership can actually be supportive to their dreams. The family can be supportive to their dreams. We've been fragmenting ourselves and compartmentalizing ourselves for long enough, you know? So I believe that stories are medicine. And so for that particular problem of chopping ourselves up into a million pieces to try to get everything we want in life, like that story is so powerful.
Yeah. And how many times in the last 2 months that I've had to be breastfeeding or have a crying baby while I'm on a call and the shame and the embarrassment that comes up around that and the women being like, no, it's fine. You know, I'm constantly like muting myself, you know, and like burping the baby. And, a lot of that came up for me. So yeah, there's some really good juicy nuggets for me to share going forward of like more of the real time. Right. Cause it's hard to see your story as you're in it in the moment, you know, and it's not that long ago and I'm still kind of in that. So. But there's so many lessons that have come out of it. So thank you.
Totally.
Yeah. So amazing. Well, this was great.
I love this stuff. I could talk about it all day. It's the best.
Yeah, it really is. So let's talk about, you know, you gave so much great content today of the form and ideas. And so I'm sure everyone listening right now is starting to, just like me, starting to think about your ideas. But if someone's wanting to learn more and work with you on actually crafting their stories and crafting their marketing, how do they get in touch with you? And do you have a free, do you have any like free gift or anything for us today?
On my website, I have it's made for ads, but if you're not doing ads, you can still use the template for social media posts or emails or something like that. Cool. So don't be intimidated if you're not doing ads. And that is at KylieSlavik.com. So that's KylieSlavik. And there's some pretty cool stuff in there about using archetypes for stories, which is like a whole nother level of.
Oh, we didn't even go into archetypes. Okay. We'll have to have you back.
But yeah, we can do that another time. But that's kind of where I dig into that a little bit. And then also you can reach out to me on Facebook. I'm pretty active over there. That's the best way to find me. Same name as the URL.
Awesome. And we have that in the show notes. So you could just click that if you come to, the website, and if you're listening there. So great. I think that will be really helpful. And I think, you know, that's actually a big thing. It doesn't matter if you're running ads. We're all using social media. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the best places to be promoting your business, your circles. And so how are you telling your story in your posts in an effective way? So it sounds like we now have a template that we can go and download at Kylie's site. So thank you so much. And before we wrap, if I gave you the megaphone of that last little thing that you'd like to tell everyone, the last little golden nugget of wisdom, what would you tell us as we end here?
Take imperfect action. I shared so much, and the mind is going to freak out and do nothing because it's like, oh, but it has to be this or that. Just do something, you know, just do something.
Start with one story.
Right. Pick one thing that we said today and really work on that one thing and leave the rest until later when you want to come back to it.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much. And thank you everyone for tuning in. And we will be tuning in next time with another amazing woman sharing her gifts with us. Thank you, Kylie. And thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you.